Severe tests of faith. As World War II raged on, German troops drove out the Soviets and occupied Estonia from 1941 to 1944. However, conditions did not improve for our brothers. Jan Perot, a deaf brother, was preaching in Tartu in 1942 when the Germans arrested him. He was accused of subversive activity and imprisoned. According to prison documents, the warden of his prison was ordered to extradite for a special disposal this prisoner, Jan Perot. This was, in effect, an execution order. A group of men saw him being taken outside and then heard gunshots. He was never brought back or seen again. Yes, it was a difficult time for the brothers. First, the Soviet army and then the German army wanted to recruit young men. "We had to hide to avoid being drafted into the army," recalls Adolf Kose. "If we were caught, we either obeyed the command to join the army or we were shot." The kingdom work, of course, suffered because it was quite difficult to do anything. The following is from pages 183 and 184 of the printed edition. "We were like one family." Adolf Kose, born 1920, baptized 1944, died 2004. Profile: in a Siberian prison camp from 1951 to 1956. Helped organize the preaching work in the Baltic countries and the northwestern part of the Soviet Union.
"I was arrested in 1950 and sent to a hard labor camp in Inta-Siberia. For the first year and a half, I didn't know anything about my wife and two small daughters, who had been exiled to another part of Siberia. There was a special kind of unity among the brothers. We were like one family. We shared both spiritual and physical food. After returning to Estonia, we had many challenges. How do we get in contact with our mother organization? How do we maintain unity among the brothers? How do we continue the preaching work? In order to communicate better with the couriers, I wanted to learn Finnish. That was easier said than done, because there were no grammar books or dictionaries for sale. As for printing, it was a crime to be in possession of an unregistered typewriter, let alone printing equipment. Anyone who produced forbidden literature could be imprisoned for 7 years. It was also difficult because there was a shortage of everything that was needed for printing. After many trial and error attempts using available materials, I finally succeeded in developing a printing technique. First of all, I made a printing machine. Then I typed the text on waxed cloth that we made ourselves. This left holes on the surface of the wax. We printed the first publications with ink made from a mixture of soot and tar. While printing, the homemade ink would trickle through the holes in the wax cloth and leave an impression on the paper underneath. The job was complicated, time-consuming, and harmful to one's health because the fumes from the ink and other chemicals were dangerous. Proper ventilation of the rooms was impossible, as the windows were tightly covered to keep the work secret."
In the midst of difficulties, Adolf fearlessly followed direction from the organization, always with the conviction that Jehovah would provide answers at the right time. He served Jehovah with the same unfaltering attitude and faith until his death in 2004. Returning to the account, again, the tide of war turned. Toward the end of 1944, the Soviet army drove the Germans out of Estonia, once again subjecting Estonia to harsh Soviet rule. The war and the following years of repression had a devastating effect on the Estonian people. At least a quarter of the population was killed or sent into exile in distant locations in the Soviet Union, or they managed to leave the country. Over the years, hundreds of thousands of Russians moved into Estonia, and the composition of the population changed markedly. Soviet rule presented a severe test of faith for our brothers, as we shall see. From forest brother to spiritual brother. A nationalistic anti-Soviet partisan movement of that time became known as Forest Brothers because they hid in the thick forests. Among them were many who were not partisans but had to hide because the Soviet State Security Committee, the KGB, was after them. It is estimated that at times between 15,000 and 20,000 men hid in the forests, some disappearing for years without the authorities finding them. In fact, the last one was not found until 1978. Would any of the Forest Brothers accept the truth and choose to become spiritual brothers? Because of his background in Estonian state service, Erik Heinlaw knew he was in danger. When the Soviet Union occupied Estonia, he and his wife Magda tried to escape to Sweden by boat many times. The last time they got on a boat, the motor broke down and they had to return. For 7 years, he managed to elude authorities by hiding in forests until he was eventually arrested. Then he and his wife were sent to separate prison camps in the Soviet Union. While in prison, Magda met two witnesses who shared the kingdom hope with her. Magda immediately realized that she had found the truth and was so delighted that she literally danced with joy. Magda was released in 1956 and was baptized in 1960. 7 years after his release, Erik also accepted the truth. At last, a forest brother became a spiritual brother. Hunted down and arrested. After the foreign brothers had to leave Estonia, a brave and zealous brother, Martin Kose, was assigned to oversee the work in northern Estonia. Southern Estonia came under the oversight of Friedrich Altpere, a tall, well-mannered Estonian who was a secondary school English teacher. Back in the 1930s, he had been asked to interpret a talk by one of the foreign pioneers who came to Väru. After doing so, he realized that he had found the truth. By now, he had progressed to the point where he could take the lead in the preaching work in southern Estonia. These assignments were difficult for both brothers because there was no contact with the organization, and neither of them had much experience. Despite the challenges of working underground, the two brothers served faithfully from 1940 until they were arrested in late 1948. In place of Martin Kose and Friedrich Altpere, a service committee was formed, made up of Albert Kruse, Karl Talberg, and Artur Indus, with Lembit Tome as an assistant. While the rest of the committee had to remain hidden, only Brother Tome could travel freely and visit the groups. Why? He was a miller at a windmill, and on calm days when the windmill was not working, he was free to do as he pleased. Responsible brothers in Estonia risked their lives to help their fellow worshippers. Pictures of those who were thought to be leaders were displayed at railway stations, treating them like wanted criminals. The KGB assigned up to 4 security agents to keep track of each of our meek sheep-like brothers. Though the years between 1948 and 1951 were difficult, Jehovah blessed the efforts of his devoted servants in the preaching work. As a result, the number of publishers rose to more than 100.